You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Life is not made up of things, no matter how much they cost.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Thanks to you, God, that you are God. Thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the atonement he made for our sins. Thanks for your Holy Spirit, for the faith he gives, and the love with which he warms our lives. Thanks, God, and thanks again in the name of Jesus. Amen. What can I give to God for all he has done for me? What can I give to God? Asked a man who had everything. What can I give to God for all he has done for me? It's a good question. Not many people ask it today. That shows how poverty-stricken they really are. Without God, you haven't got anything. Without God, you don't even know who you are. No wonder the world is running around in circles at its wits' end, frantically trying to find some solution to problems that are only going to get bigger for people who struggle to get along without God. This man said, "What can I give to God?" He had come face to face with God, as sometimes we do, the hard way. He had just about died. Doctors had given him up, and when somebody told him that he would recover, he wouldn't believe it. "Death stared me in the face," he said. "I was frightened and sad. Then I cried, 'Lord, save me.'" How kind he is. How good he is. So merciful, this God of ours. The Lord protects the simple and the childlike. I was facing death, and then he saved me. Now I can relax, for the Lord has done this wonderful miracle for me. He has saved me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall live, yes, in his presence, here on earth. In my discouragement, I thought, they are lying when they say he will recover. But now, what can I give to God for all he has done for me? Life begins by the power of God. When a child is born into a family, nobody in his right mind can claim credit for this miracle. Certainly not the father, and not even the mother. This complex little being with a mind of his own is a miracle of God. Who else? That little fellow can grow up today surrounded by all the goodies of life, but without the one ingredient that makes life worth living. That is faith in God. His parents accept this miracle without any real thanks to God, and they act as if that boy really belongs to them. Possessiveness of parents who have no faith in God has become one of the big problems of our age. Just about as big as neglect by parents of their God-given responsibilities to that boy or girl whom God has given them. Life, real life, begins with God. Life begins again in the knowledge of God. When he comes to a household that has never known him or has long forgotten him, life begins again when you come face to face with God and don't rudely pass him by or walk away from him. Life is not made up of things, no matter how much they cost. The best things in life are free, like love and friendship. They simply can't be bought. They're there because God is there. Life doesn't begin again for anyone until he comes to recognize God. This man found it out for himself. He had to learn it the hard way, but he did not rudely pass God by or walk away from him. How kind he is, said the man. How good he is. So merciful, this God of ours. The Lord protects the simple and the childlike. So he does, because he is God. How foolish it is when you think about it. To treat life as if it were made up of things, the things that are here today and gone tomorrow. Jesus Christ once said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Nothing truer was ever said. How right he is! Yet we go on living as if life is indeed made up of the abundance of things we are able to accumulate in a lifetime. That just doesn't make sense. God makes sense. He makes sense out of life. He's God, forgiving the past and giving hope for the future. Yet we pass him by or rudely turn on our heels and walk away from him. That just doesn't make sense. But it happens all the time. There's very little thought for God around these days, and very little thanksgiving from people who do think about him at all. Anyone who really thinks gives thanks to God. He is, and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That makes sense. It's really the only thing in the whole world that makes sense. Our Lord told a story about a man who has been called the rich fool. He's called that because in the story, a voice comes out of the howling darkness and says to him, "You fool!" The man was a landowner. He farmed successfully and became rich. We admire people like that. In fact, we envy them a little bit. But we don't call them fools. Jesus called the man a fool. Not because he had accumulated wealth, but because he just forgot about God. Money can be a great thing for good or for ill. It can be a modern-day Aladdin's lamp providing 1,000 servants to stand around and do whatever you want them to do. It can also draw a man's heart away from God, shutting and locking the doors of life. The man in our Lord's story had just finished bringing in his harvest. Now he asked himself, what am I going to do with all that I've been able to get? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns so that I can accumulate even more. I'll become even richer and get the things that make life worth living. Just then the door blew open and a voice said to the man, "You fool! This night your soul will be required of you, and then whose will those things be that you've been able to get over the years?" So is every man who is not rich toward God. Our Lord was not recommending that people should be wasteful with things. He was not discouraging thrift. He was not putting a premium on laziness. What he was saying was that things don't amount to very much when it comes to genuine life. There only God will do. Setting his heart on things, the man said to himself, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Now take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." That was the tragedy of his life. He thought that his life could be nourished on corn. The man was really a pauper and a fool. "What shall I do?" the man had asked himself, "for I have nowhere to store my crops." God is nowhere in that picture. There are no gifts from God when you are responsible for everything you are and everything you have. There's no reason for Thanksgiving except to get the family together and have a feed. And why do that, when the farthest thing from your mind is giving thanks to anyone but yourself? If that's not a futile exercise in self-praise, I'd like to know what is. If that's Thanksgiving, we're all fools, and we might just as well forget about the whole business. What our world needs is new life, new direction, a new way of looking at things. What we need is to see ourselves as we are. How can you see yourself as you are and walk away from God? The great things in life, like love and friendship, are really free, impossible to get by buying them. Where does that put you? If you don't give thanks to God for his bounty to you, what are you anyway, except a fool? The Lord was right. So is every man who is not rich toward God. But what, asked the psalmist, can I give to God? That's still a good question. What can you give to him that he does not already have? What have you got that's worth giving to God? I get the impression, as you probably will too, when you read this 116th Psalm, that the man who asked the question, what can I give to God, had a real problem. He was down in the mouth, depressed, just about in despair. He says so. Everybody had given up on him, except God. He had given up on himself, and then he turned to God. I know that sounds to many people today like turning away from reality. It looks to them like a retreat from life rather than a turning toward it, seeking refuge in religion from the hard facts of life. This is not religion that we are talking about today. It is God. Faith in God, seeing life as a gift from God, needs to respond to that gift in a way that is real. What can I give to God for all he has done for me? That's not just religion. It's real. It's life. God showed himself to this man, as he has probably showed himself to many people listening to me today. He is our Savior in our deepest need. When the worst comes to the worst, only God can save. When reputation has been destroyed and there is no friend at all, only God can save. When the family breaks up and falls apart, after everything has been tried and fails, only God can save. When robust health begins to fail and death becomes almost a suffocating prospect, only God can save. When the doctors have done their best and bank books are no longer of any value at all, only God can save. God is not the last resort. He is the first resort. He always takes the first step to save. That's what you see in Jesus Christ. God saves. If it weren't for that, Jesus Christ would be just another figure in history. He's something special. He's the Savior of the world, sent by God, who is always interested in saving people. As the psalmist said, how kind he is, how good he is, how merciful this God of ours. Now that's Jesus Christ all over, the Savior of the world. Emmanuel, he's called, God with us. To whom can you go for deliverance from your own sins except to God? Some people are turned off, I know, by all this talk about sin. But there it is, staring you in the face, whether you like it or not. There is your own record accusing you. And there is no cover-up which will let you get away with it. You can protest your own innocence or you can blame it on others, but there it is, telling you of your own responsibility for what you are, what you have done, and even for what has happened to you. There is God entering human history and knocking on your door in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God knocking on your door. He became a man to die for you. He paid the price for your sins. He was raised from the dead as the Savior of all men everywhere. He is Lord. There's no one else like him anywhere. In this world of despondency, depression, and despair, God forgives sins like yours for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. There's no bounty anywhere like the mercy of God. He just blots out the past and gives new life for the future. That's God. He gives life as only he can. That's life. It's a new way, a new direction, a new life. It's like the life of Christ himself, resurrected by the power of God and declared to be the Son of God with power. That's yours by faith in Jesus Christ, sent by God to be the Savior of the world, and your Savior too. Coming face to face with the mercy of God, the psalmist said, I shall live. Yes, in his presence, right here on earth. In my discouragement, I thought, they are lying when they say, I will recover. Now, what can I offer to God for all he has done for me? I will bring him an offering of wine and praise his name for saving me. I will publicly bring him the sacrifice I vowed I would. His loved ones are very precious to him, and he does not lightly let them die. Oh, Lord, you freed me from my bonds, and I will serve you forever. I will worship you and offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, that's thanksgiving. It's not paying God back for his goodness. We can't pay God back, and he doesn't expect it. But you can thank him, not just as an afterthought, but as a way of life. What can you give to God? What can you give him that will show you are truly thankful? That's a good question. Don't walk away from it. It's important for your future. God gives his grace to you, his undeserved love, his forgiveness and his life. He gives that in Jesus Christ, freely, without any expectation of return on his investment. Now, what can you give to him? You can love God as he loves you. Instead of holding him off at arm's length, you can love him and hold him close to you. He delivers your soul from death, and he invites you into his presence. He sets a table before you in the presence of your enemies, no less. What can you give him if not your love? The psalmist offered God his praise, his public praise. He was not afraid to talk about his debt to God and to own up to him. Just sit down with your family today without embarrassment or apology and worship God with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Just tell him how much it means to you that he is God. Thank him for his kindness to you. Promise to serve him. That's the best promise you'll ever make in your life. What can you give to God? Your promise. The promise of your heart that you will serve him and love him, and love those around you as he has first loved you. Lift up the cup of salvation, my friend. He's filled it for you with his good gifts. Offer to him the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on his name. Accept his forgiveness for what you have done or failed to do. Take the life he gives with joy that he gives it. Make a promise from your heart and pay what you have vowed you will. Make your promise to the Lord, and then walk before the Lord in the land of the living with thanksgiving. Amen.
Listening to a recorded copy of a Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Mass Media Department of the Lutheran Layman's League.